Rock out is Stone Cold. The Hellraiser is back.
Here we go. Evolution of the Shield.
John Cena versus the Showstopper.
Hulk Hogan and The Rock in the same ring.
You will never take my place at the head of the table.
Undertaker with a Hellscape submission. Oh, my God. What?
My God, Michaels just kicked Cena's head off.
The Monday Night Wars have come to WrestleMania.
It'll be The Rock. It'll be Austin one-on-one.
Third and fourth, the Undertaker.
Do you believe in miracles?
The streak is over.
Hey, guys. What's going on? And welcome back to Rivalries on the WWE Podcast on this Friday, April 16th. And I missed you guys. Well, I didn't completely miss last week as I hopped on the WrestleMania preview show with Mimi and Matt. And that was just so much fun. Almost 3 hours that we talked wrestling there. But in the interest of not flooding the feed and maybe diluting it, I took a break from Rivalries. I wanted all the focus possible to be on WrestleMania. And I gotta say, I think that WrestleMania probably fell exactly where I expected it to. Like, the stories for me, as I said on the WrestleMania preview show, that it really dampened my expectation for the pay-per-view. And there were some matches that I really enjoyed. Like, I did enjoy the Shane McMahon-Braun Strowman match. I did really enjoy the Bobby Lashley-Drew McIntyre match. And that match in particular is what inspired the Rivalries episode for today. And how it inspired it was Bobby Lashley getting that WrestleMania victory. And his first WrestleMania victory since coming back to the WWE. And if I'm not mistaken, was his first ever WrestleMania victory. And I could be mistaken. I'm not sure if he fought at WrestleMania 24 or 25. But that was right around the time where I wasn't watching. So I would have to double check that. But needless to say, it is his first WrestleMania victory since coming back to the company in 2018. He lost at WrestleMania 35 to Finn Balor in the Intercontinental Championship match. And he lost last year to Aleister Black. And I just thought everything about that match was just knocked out of the park on WWE's part, especially the finish. You know, they protect Drew, but they make Bobby Lashley look like a complete ox. So that's why the rivalry that we are going to cover today is one that culminated in Lashley's first ever WrestleMania victory. And that was him and Donald Trump against Umaga and Vince McMahon. This was way before Donald Trump even had a thought of becoming president, well, at least to the public's knowledge. So it will have nothing to do with his presidential campaign or run. I'm not going to touch on that one bit. But needless to say, Donald Trump was a big part of making Bobby Lashley a star back in 2007. And I think that's what we forget about how Bobby Lashley got to where he is today. And obviously he left the company for, I want to say, almost 10 years, where he went to TNA and he tried real MMA and all that stuff. But in the mid-2000s, Bobby Lashley was one of the most rising stars in the company. In 2005, he debuted on SmackDown and he actually won the United States Championship and had a solid run with it, up until losing it to Finlay in July of 2006. And Lashley won the championship following WrestleMania 22 when he dethroned John Bradshaw Layfield on an episode of SmackDown. And that run with the United States Championship to beat a former world champion in JBL, who had one of the longest runs as a WWE champion in recent memory during this point, and was just 1 year removed from that run, was very telling to where they thought Bobby Lashley would be. And by this time in 2006, you gotta remember, John Cena was already a megastar. Batista was a megastar as well, but he was out with injury. And with Bobby Lashley being on SmackDown where Batista was, it was a perfect time to push Bobby Lashley to try and get to be that main top babyface. But you also had Rey Mysterio around on SmackDown. Randy Orton was kind of middling around the upper mid card to main event scene as he was going through a tough time personally, especially if you watch his Broken Skull sessions with Steve Austin. So it was almost a perfect storm for Bobby Lashley. But then in a rather confusing turn of events, they sent him to ECW in late 2006. And I think why they did this was a couple of reasons. For one, Kurt Angle was supposed to be the face of the new look ECW brand. They sent him from SmackDown to ECW in June when it was announced ECW would have its own brand and they'd get one selection from Raw and one selection from SmackDown. Rob Van Dam went from Raw to ECW, and SmackDown's guy was Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle was just coming off of a World Heavyweight Championship run that he lost at WrestleMania 22. And he had kind of stepped in the short term for to make up for the loss of Batista in early 2006 and was the successor to Batista as the World Heavyweight Champion. And like I just said, he brought that into WrestleMania. But when Kurt Angle abruptly left the company, and I want to say it was early July of 2006, there was a void on ECW in terms of who the face would be. Originally, it was going to be Kurt Angle along with Rob Van Dam. And Rob Van Dam won the WWE Championship / ECW Championship in June of 2006. And then later got busted for DUI with Sabu. And then that made his run get cut short as he dropped it to the Big Show. And Rob Van Dam really never recovered from that. Like, I really thought that is when it was Rob Van Dam's time to shine and as a main event guy in the WWE. And to this point, he had always just been that upper mid-card, best intercontinental champion type of character. And that was like his rank along the totem pole in the company. But then when he went flying down the card, Kurt Angle abruptly left. You had to go to the Big Show. And the Big Show was the guy who really legitimized the ECW brand in 2006. And this was right in the twilight of Big Show's initial run with the company. And he ended up leaving in early January of 2007. And Big Show had a really good run as ECW champion. And I think that Big Show didn't get enough respect for what he did. And this was a really cool monster heel run for him, which I always thought was the best version of Big Show when he was that dominant monster. And, you know, he kind of got entangled with the program of the McMahons versus D-Generation X. And he eventually started having a bit of turmoil with Bobby Lashley. That led to an Elimination Chamber match, an Extreme Elimination Chamber match, at December to Dismember, the first ever ECW brand exclusive pay-per-view. And that is when we got ushered in to the new era of ECW.
Quick control over the Big Show here. Oh man, oh no! And the Big Show is busted open, Tech!
Oh my god, he went right to the pod, Joey!
He busted the pod open! He was thrown for the pod with the Big Show! Oh, look at Lashley! This is all legal! Lashley just raining down bare knuckles on the lacerated forehead of ECW World Champion!
Lashley just busted the pod open with Big Show's body!
Champion the Big Show.
and the one remaining challenger, Lashley, both down inside the first ever Extreme Elimination Chamber.
Who's going to leave this demonic structure? The new Okoro ECW champion? Who, Joey? What the hell's going to happen here?
Big Show swinging and missing. Bobby Lashley hitting every punch. Big Show's just so powerful.
Yeah, but Lashley's throwing nice hands there. Watch out. Oh, my God. How strong. Show's going to use Lashley's move.
So in the Extreme Elimination Chamber that also featured CM Punk, Rob Van Dam, Hardcore Holly, and Test, Bobby Lashley comes out with the victory, and he bloodied the Big Show at the end of this match and sent him through the pod. And like I had previously said, the Big Show was on a near 6-month run as a dominant heel champion. And this was right about the time where Big Show, I think, was at his max weight. Like, he was well over 500 pounds at this point, so he even looked that much more imposing. I know, obviously, it probably wasn't the best weight. He looked quite fatter, for lack of better words. But it was still the visual of Bobby Lashley, who was not even 2 years in to his WWE career, able to beat successfully one of the biggest monsters in the company at this time. So this really culminated Bobby Lashley's push and at least seemingly put him on the same level as the likes of John Cena and Batista in the eyes of WWE, because Cena was the world champ on Raw, Batista was back healthy and back as the world champ on SmackDown, and now you had the ECW World Championship won by Bobby Lashley, and these three were kind of the faces going into the winter and Royal Rumble / WrestleMania season of WWE. But simultaneously, on Monday Night Raw during 2006, you had a debut of another monster following WrestleMania 22. And the first person to get introduced to this monster was Ric Flair.
Nothing happened, Island Jumper Cuban. And get in my face. You got a new boy on the street. Let's not talk about it. Let's bring him out here and let's see what he's got. Because the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion is standing right here.
Amigo, I can do you one better. Bendejo! You've overstayed your welcome. It's time for you to go. Ladies and gentlemen, damas y caballeros, I bid to you. Umaga.
Umaga?
Umaga?
Umaga? What is this? Who is this? Whatever he is or whoever he is.
Look at the size of this guy.
He's damn big. Umaga is big.
Estrada guy just kicked Flair from behind and
a bad knee that he injured last foot is Money in the Bank at WrestleMania. Whatever these two are, they're opportunistic. Armando, Alejandro, Estrada, and Umaga.
This Umaga is a huge man with a
wow. He's a man already. Huge man!
Oh, no!
That's what I'm
talking about! Armando Alejandro Estrada is telling Umaga to get the Nature Boy up!
Umaga just...
Now, what, you speak Spanish now, Coach?
Umaga may have just...
A little bit.
...crushed the face of the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion, Nature Boy Ric Flair!
Well, you got two guys out here. This Estrada guy kicks Flair from behind in that bad knee. And now he's instructing this Umaga to break Flair. Come on, we need some help out here.
He's trying to break the future Hall of Famer.
Oh, come on.
Damn it.
Flair to come out here to compete tonight.
So Umaga debuts the Raw following WrestleMania 22 and just absolutely dismantles Ric Flair. And you got to understand Ric Flair at this time. This was post-Evolution. This was post his program with Triple H in the fall of 2006. And I'm not going to lie, he was kind of getting stale at this point. I believe he only had, so this was 2006, he only had about 2 years left in him as he retired at WrestleMania 24 in 2008. But I just think that this was a good opportunity to put over Umaga as this dominant heel by beating up one of the best of all time. And Umaga went on like a monster run in 2006, like an unstoppable heel force. And he went on like a mega undefeated streak. And, you know, he beat guys like Cena, Shawn Michaels, Triple H. He had a feud with Kane, which culminated at Loser Leaves Raw, and that sent Kane to SmackDown. And it finally got Umaga to be the number one contender to the WWE Championship for John Cena. And one of the matches that often gets forgotten was their match at the Royal Rumble in 2007. And Cena had beat Umaga at the previous pay-per-view that culminated in a roll-up, go figure, which ended Umaga's winning streak. But their last man standing match at the Royal Rumble in 2007, when John Cena actually made him pass out with the ring ropes as to kind of make a modified version of the STF, was just an incredible scene. And I know maybe people were saying, oh, another guy that John Cena, you know, buried along the way, like Rusev or Bray Wyatt. But you got to understand, John Cena was only a year into his main event push at this time, or 2 years in, rather. So it kind of made sense. But even though Umaga lost to Cena and didn't win the WWE Championship, he still gained a lot of steam. And he won the Intercontinental Championship in February off of Jeff Hardy. And aside from John Cena, he was the most dominant figure on the Monday Night Raw brand, and arguably in the company, to be honest, certainly as a heel. But then what happened was is that we started getting the storyline between Vince McMahon and Donald Trump. And they had a couple of segments that fell flat. I remember there was something to do with Rosie O'Donnell and Donald Trump. But it ultimately led to Trump and Vince McMahon challenging one another to a match at WrestleMania. But not one-on-one, each of them against one another, because who the hell would want to see that match? But each of them would pick a representative. And with this program taking place on Monday Night Raw, Vince McMahon chose Umaga. And why wouldn't he? Vince McMahon's the over-the-top heel character, and Umaga was the biggest heel on the brand, or arguably in the company at this point. And this was the first major program we had seen Vince McMahon in a year and a half since his culmination against D-Generation X just 4 or 5 months prior at Unforgiven in September. So we still had that fresh version of Vince McMahon as just the over-the-top mega heel in our minds. And even Shane McMahon kind of got involved in this program that we'll get to later. But with Umaga, for some reason, I just keep wanting to say John Cena. I guess he was just such a prominent figure at this point in time. But with Vince McMahon choosing Umaga to be his stand-in representative for his match against Donald Trump at WrestleMania 23, the Donald had something up his sleeve to combat Vince McMahon's choice.
WrestleMania Ball. The Donald chant going there.
You people, shut up!
First of all, Vince, your grapefruits are no match for my Trump Towers.
Oh man. There's two of them?
You better hold your guy back, Vince, because he's going to have a hard time on April 1st. Let me tell you right now. He's going to have the hardest time he's ever had in the ring. And you know, Vince, when my man was last in the ring with you, he did a big number on you, Vince. You were scared. You were frightened. You didn't want to be in the ring with him, And I want to introduce him now, Vince. There's nothing for you to say. I want to introduce him. ECW World Champion, Bobby Lashley, folks, my man.
Uh-oh. And he is our man, no doubt about it. The ECW World Heavyweight Champion, Bobby Lashley, Donald Trump's representative at WrestleMania. Well, you said it is going to take a...
So Trump picks Bobby Lashley, and I don't think we'll ever be hearing Trump chants in a crowd like this again, eh? Okay, I'm going to stay away from politics. That's not why we're here. But I think it was very important for Bobby Lashley to be put into this match for numerous reasons, because I think primarily it showed what kind of outlook they had for Bobby Lashley. And even though it didn't pan out right away, I think that even 14 years ago or 15 years ago, however long ago this was, they knew Bobby Lashley had the potential to be a main event star. And making him the stand-in opponent for, or the stand-in representative rather, for Donald Trump at a WrestleMania match involving Vince McMahon was telling of that. And you know what? Ditto for Umaga. Like, Umaga had a really good run during his first year in the company. I just think that when you have, like, an incompetent monster like that, like a complete psychopath monster, it kind of falls flat after a while. Like, there's something, I believe it was Dean Ambrose said it, but once you're crazy, you can't go uncrazy. And that's why when they do monster heels like that, where they're just like these out of control savages, it kind of has a shelf life. And you can kind of make the same case with The Fiend. Although The Fiend has the split personality with Bray Wyatt in the Firefly Funhouse, so it kind of saves it a bit. But when you have like an out-of-control monster heel that's just a complete psychopath, it's hard to, you know, really expand the depth of the character and make layers to the character and all that. So while Umaga was really good out of the gate, it kind of fell flat after a bit. But in the here and now, in 2007, it worked well for Bobby Lashley and Umaga to be pitted against each other as the representatives for Vince and Donald Trump. But there was one more wrinkle that had to be added to this match. Or actually two more wrinkles. Because number one, it was a loser gets their head shaved match. And that was a cool put part in this because... Number one, everyone always thought Trump was wearing a toupee. So obviously it gave some people a reason to watch and almost root against Donald Trump, even though he was being booked as the babyface in this program. And again, even Vince McMahon at this point, we had never seen him with anything other than the prototypical Vince McMahon hair. So getting to see either one of these guys get their head shaved in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania was a drawing point for the company. But the number two aspect, or X factor, however you want to put it, that we haven't yet gotten to, is the special guest referee. And I would argue that the man who was the special guest referee is what made this match as good and attractive as it was.
Listen, we got major problems. The board has voted 5-4. We lost. We lost.
Well, if you're not the guest referee in my match at WrestleMania, you want to tell me who the hell is? I said, tell me. Damn it, tell me.
Thank you.
So Stone Cold Steve Austin announces the special guest referee when Vince was sure it was going to be Shane McMahon. And whenever Steve Austin's the special guest referee, it automatically makes whatever match he is in that much more exciting and gives you another reason to watch it. Because look, I'll take myself back into the moment when I was 12 years old, 13 years old, and I was excited to see this match. But I mean, Lashley and Umaga were still not, even though they had put Lashley on the same platform as Batista and John Cena as a world champion, I don't think he was quite there yet. Umaga was a monster heel, but still just an upper mid-card guy. I didn't really care about who Donald Trump was at this time. Vince McMahon, I mean, I always liked Vince and Shane, as you guys all know. But I had just gotten my fix of them 6 months prior in the D-Generation X match. So even though it was a good match on the surface with Umaga representing McMahon and Lashley representing Trump, adding Steve Austin into this match ensured that there was going to be fireworks. And I think, you know, we were only, what, like 4 years removed from Austin being an in-ring competitor at this point, 2 years removed from him being the sheriff slash GM of Raw. So he still was prominent in our minds. And what was awesome about Stone Cold Steve Austin is that he wasn't partial to one party or the other. He was completely impartial and called us down the middle. And I remember he even, you know, told off Donald Trump saying he didn't give a damn about who he was and he would stand him just like he was another guy. So going into this match, especially with the type of character Umaga was, you knew that there was going to be some kind of explosion here. And then you had Shane McMahon as a somewhat prominent role that you knew that he was going to try and get involved in some capacity. So when the match finally took place, you know, early on in the match, I remember Steve Austin, like, grabbed Umaga by the hair when he wouldn't break the hold along the ropes and just pulled him off, gave him the finger. It was just a very cool dynamic to see Stone Cold Steve Austin as the ref, where Lashley and Umaga were both down at one point, and he got to the 9 count and then called it off and just waited for both of them to get up. But eventually, Umaga gets the Samoan spike in on Stone Cold Steve Austin. And that's when Shane McMahon got involved and came out with a referee shirt. Just when Vince McMahon thought he had the match won and outsmarted Donald Trump, things took a turn for the worse. So a whole lot happens in that last 2 minutes or so of the match. Shane McMahon about to get the 3 count in for Umaga. Stone Cold Steve Austin gets back up, takes Shane McMahon out. He gets the Samoan spike again. And then Donald Trump tackles Vince McMahon, gives him the worst punches in the history of mankind. And then it leads to a stunner by Austin onto Umaga, the spear by Lashley. and it ensures the victory for Trump and Vince McMahon getting his head shaved bald in the middle of the ring at WrestleMania 23. And then Donald Trump ate a stunner of his own, the worst stunner of all time. And I think Stone Cold Steve Austin is the only man that can say that he gave a former president of the United States a wrestling finishing maneuver. But aside from Trump, aside from Austin, aside from Vince McMahon, even aside from Umaga, I really wanted to cover this match because, and this rivalry rather, because of where we have gotten to with Bobby Lashley. And I think it's a long time coming that Bobby Lashley got cemented as a main event player in the WWE. And we got his first ever world championship victory at a WrestleMania. So why not review the rivalry that led to his first ever victory at a WrestleMania? And it was a long time coming as to what happened with Bobby Lashley this past week at WrestleMania, securing the championship victory defense over Drew McIntyre. And this is no slight against Drew McIntyre, but this is Bobby Lashley's time to shine. I truly believe that. And I think Lashley has done enough over the last 13, 14 years or so, whether it be in WWE or Impact or in MMA, to say that he is a main event guy. And you know what? He's not great on the mic. And I think personally, if I were creative, I would give him less time on the mic. Give it to MVP. And that's another thing. Without MVP, there is no almighty Bobby Lashley. What MVP has done over the past year has made Bobby Lashley what he is today. And, you know, Bobby Lashley doesn't need to speak. They could go the whole Lesnar-Heyman route with Lashley and MVP. But with Bobby Lashley being such a prominent figure in the WWE today as the WWE champion, I thought it was only fitting to review his first ever WrestleMania victory and arguably his biggest rivalry aside from the one he has with Drew McIntyre right now. And to be honest, you can make the argument that this rivalry of him and Trump versus Umaga and Vince was even bigger than the one he's entrenched with now. But it's very cool to look back on how to see where we got to be with Bobby Lashley as we know him today to where he started off with in WWE 15, 16 years ago. Look, guys, that's all I got for you today. I hope you enjoyed Lashley Trump versus Umaga Vince McMahon. As always, you can get me on Twitter at ADeMarco25. You can get Matt on Twitter at Wrestling_audio. You can get Matt via email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to catch all the other great shows we have this week, whether it be the SmackDown review, Raw review, and all the other great shows we have on our feed. So until next time, guys, I will talk to you next week.